The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. May God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. Our subject is the spiritual chain found in Romans chapter 8. Now, this spiritual chain has many links in it, but all of the links are tied together. And this spiritual chain is connected to every child of God. And what we discovered that started this chain is when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a child of God. And we were given the privilege of crying out to God, crying, Abba, Father. Though we're sinners through and through, we can become children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, a part of his forever family. And we can never lose that so great salvation that he gives to us. And because we're children, we found out, we become heirs of God. And because we're heirs of God, another link in the chain is that we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we're going to see many links in that chain as we go through chapter 8 of Romans. But what I want you to understand is because this is true, then all of these other things fall under that as being true. And never does it become a work effort on our part to gain any one of these links. They're all given to us by grace. Grace is truly amazing, as we shall see. With that in our mind, let's look at another link in that chain today that is true because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the ministry of suffering. Would you pray with me? Father, would you open to us this little section in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, and I pray that we would see it clearly from your word. And I pray that we would understand that believers are not called, once we come to faith in Christ, from suffering, but we're called by you to suffer. But we're to suffer righteously that we might bring attention to Jesus Christ, that we might shed light upon him, because that's why we're here in this world and not in heaven. And help us to understand those facts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin in verse 16, and we're looking at this chain, as I said. We read in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the first link in the chain here. We're children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and if heirs of God, we might say, and joint heirs with Christ. That is, we're going to receive an inheritance for our faith in Jesus Christ. We are going to one day rule and reign with Christ in a literal kingdom. Think of that. We are heirs. We are his heirs. And this heirship can never be lost. That's what I want us to understand. Since we cannot lose our identity as children of God, we can never lose that relationship, then we can never lose our heirship. It's a part of the chain. It's tied together. and we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to be cookie cutter Christians. That is, the inheritance is going to be different for every one of us, depending on how we used our stewardship responsibility while we're on the planet, while we're in the local church. We've all been given gifts and talents and abilities to use for God's glory. And how we carry that out in the local church one day mean the various inheritance that we get. And the inheritance will not be the same. Some of us will come to faith in Jesus Christ at a late age, and we will not have a lot of time to serve the Lord, and our inheritance will be different. But we'll all be a joint heir with Christ. That's what I want you to see. And then it says here, if indeed we suffer with Him. Now, the suffering with Christ sounds as though it's optional. Maybe we will, and maybe we won't. But this little sense here, or if indeed, rather, is the Greek word aper. And it carries the idea, remember, of since. I think we used this illustration, and I think we used Gator. Gator, if you're going to Walmart, would you pick up this for me? Since you're going, would you pick this up? Now, there's no question in our mind that he's going to Walmart. And since you're going, would you pick this up for me? That's the idea here. Suffering is a link in the chain. Now, here's the bottom line. Every child of God is going to suffer for Christ. That's not popular preaching. We don't like to hear that. And the degree of our suffering is going to be different. Everybody's not going to be to suffer alike. Again, we're not cookie-cutter Christians. The suffering will come in various forms and at various times. And there are some today who want to make this suffering for Christ conditional, which means maybe we'll be willing to suffer, but maybe again there are some believers who won't be willing to suffer for Christ. But think about this just a moment. If it is God's sovereign will that we suffer with Christ, then can we make the choice not to? Absolutely not. We can't opt out. God is the divine architect. He's going to put us through it. He is going to bring about suffering in our life. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Hold your place in Romans 8. Flip to Philippians, no pun intended. Flip to Philippians chapter 1 and look in verse 27. He's writing to believers. This information is not designed for a non-Christian or an unbeliever to come to faith in Jesus Christ. This information is for Christians. And he says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Like in verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents, that is, those who come against you for your faith in Jesus Christ, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Now look in verse 29 carefully. Look at it closely. For to you it has been granted. Now the word granted is the Greek word charizomai. You say, I don't recognize that word. It's grace. It's from charis, grace. Charis, charizomai. It's an act of grace for Christ's sake. Now watch this. Not only to believe in Him, God has granted you the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Remember, you were dead in sin. You were a natural human being. But God brought the gospel to you. You understood the facts of the gospel, and then He granted faith to you to believe in Jesus Christ. He gave you that faith by grace. You did not work for it. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. He gave it to you by faith. So he granted you the faith to believe in Christ. But notice, let's continue here. But also to what? To suffer for his sake. Here's the point. Suffering is a part of the grace package. It's involved with believing in Christ. It's a link in the chain. We become children of God, we become heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and we are going to suffer. Suffering is a part of God's plan for Christians. Now, here's the question of the hour. So why do we suffer? Nothing shouts louder to an unbelieving world as to the identity and worth of Jesus Christ better than believers who suffer righteously. I said this last time. It's as though the Holy Spirit whispers to us in our prosperity. That is, when everything's going well, when the sun is shining, and the bills are being paid, and the children and grandchildren are well, everything is working. Boy, it's just fantastic. Then the Holy Spirit just whispers. We're not motivated to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. But that is the very time that we should be walking in fellowship with Christ. Because then God brings the suffering. He brings the pain. The bills aren't being paid. The money is not there. And the health goes. And the suffering begins to come. And now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's not, he's not whispering. What's he doing? He's shouting. He's shouting to us. Walk with the Savior. And there are unbelievers watching us at that time. Now they know that we claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ. They know that. They know that we claim to be a Christian. And many of those unbelievers are saying, well, it's easy to be a Christian when things are going well for you. But what about when the wheels roll off? What about when the life falls apart? What about when the money stops? What about when the pain comes? What about when the sickness comes? What about when the problems come? Are you still a Christian then? Do you still magnify Christ then? Is he still your Savior and your Lord then? Nothing shouts louder to a lost world than believers that suffer righteously. That's been true all through history. One of the greatest books I ever read was called The Martyrs, The Voice of the Martyrs. The martyrs that died for Jesus Christ in the ancient world. What a picture. Men like Polycarp, who gave their life for Christ. There was a man in England named Latimer who was burned at the stake for Jesus Christ. And he had a student in his class. His name was Bilney. I'll never forget. I read the story. But the professor had introduced Christianity to England through his classroom. And one of the students named Bilney had led him to Christ. Well, eventually, they burned him at the stake, Latimer. And Bilney was in the audience. And Bilney came up before they lit the fire to burn Latimer, and he strapped himself to his teacher and he said, I can't have you burn alone. So he strapped himself to be burned with his professor for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that old man was heard to say to his student, Bilney, They're going to burn us today. But by God's grace, we're going to light a torch in England that no one will be able to extinguish. And that's exactly what happened. The fires of the gospel just were catapulted throughout England because of that martyr, a believer suffering righteously. There have been thousands, listen, thousands throughout history who have given their life for Jesus Christ. But not one life was wasted. Look at this, back in the verse that we're looking at here in Romans chapter 8. Let's finish it up. So that we may also, here's the reason for suffering, be glorified with Him. Now, what does the word glory mean? To shed light on. Listen, one day, we're going to shed light upon Jesus Christ like you wouldn't believe. Someone has said that those of us who know Christ are the trophies of His grace. And we are the trophies of His grace. And one day, God is going to be glorified by us. We're going to reveal the riches of His glory throughout eternity because of His grace given to us. And we're put on this planet to glorify Him. That's why we're here. Why in the world do you think God leaves us here? Why don't He just take us on to heaven? There's nothing that we have to do to earn it. We get it as a gift the moment we trust Christ. Why in the world would He leave us here? To glorify Him, to shed light upon Him to a lost world. And sometimes this shedding of light comes through suffering. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4:12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you or test you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. You know, those of us sometimes who know we're believers, who know we're children of God, and it appears sometimes that God's mad at us, the way He treats us. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have a tendency to say, God, you know, it's a wonder you don't have as many friends as you have, the way you treat the ones you got. But He says, look, don't think it's strange that this has happened to you, but rejoice. Take heart to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. That is, don't suffer because you're out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. You may be under the disciplining hand of God, and that may be the reason that you're suffering. You're being chastised, you're being spanked, because you're not walking in fellowship with Christ. But notice He says in verse 16, Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Remember, this is what we're here for. Let us shed light upon God in this matter. I'm really always encouraged when I visit the hospital of an old saint who's lying in bed there, and their body is just racked with pain and it's all kinds of problems. And yet they whisper, "Glory to God." Now, that impresses a preacher. I don't know about you, but that shouts to me. They say, "Praise the Lord, preacher, that I'm counted worthy to suffer for His name. Praise be to God." Suffering is all around us. It's everywhere. There is obviously physical pain, that accompanies growing old. I'm sure you've recognized that. There are diseases that rack the body. There's one catastrophe seemingly after another. There's murders. We see it all around us on the planet. There's earthquakes, there's storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, and people are just dying, it appears. There's hunger, there's abandonment, there are people being mistreated in an unjustly way. But there is, here's what Paul's going to teach us. There is righteous suffering and there's just suffering. There's a difference. The righteous, those of us who are believers, suffer for the glory of God. There is a purpose in our suffering. There is a reason for it. And the unbelieving world, well, they just suffer because they're a part of a fallen creation. And they better enjoy this life because this life is all there is for them. They're getting the very best that they're going to get right here. And their suffering is the residue caused by the fall in the garden and caused by sin. Believers, on the other hand, we suffer because we want to be identified with the one that suffered for us. That's important to understand. And unlike the unbeliever, there's going to be a glorious end to our suffering. And I want us to look in verse 18, because here is the ultimate goal for God's sanctification of believers. He sets us apart. Look in verse 18. For I consider, that's the word, logizomai. I consider, Paul says, and some of your versions say, I reckon. And that tells me that he was from South Tarsus. I like that word, don't you? I reckon. Paul says, I reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. Now, what he's saying is sufferings that Paul and all those who followed him were going to be involved in. Suffering that believers throughout the ages are going to be involved in. Some even to death. Paul himself, in A.D. 64, died in Rome under Emperor Nero. He was beheaded. He suffered. But Paul says, the sufferings of this present time, notice here, are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The suffering is for a limited time. And the suffering is to be contrasted with the glory that's going to come. That is, we have a reason for suffering. That old saint on that hospital bed, she has a reason for suffering. He has a reason for suffering. Latimer, when he was burned at the stake, he had a reason for giving his life. And that reason far exceeded the pain that he felt when he went through it. And the ultimate reason will far exceed whatever you're going through for the cause of Jesus Christ. It will far exceed it, is what Paul is saying. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The amount, the quantity of the glory that awaits our eyes to see far exceeds the burden of the suffering now. That's what he's saying. The glory is an eternal glory, whereas the suffering is what? Temporary. We're going through time. Boy, I've had a great time in my life. I don't know about you, but I love what I do. And God has given me much joy with my children and my grandchildren. And I'm saying, Lord, if this is suffering, bring it on. But we suffer in different ways. We all suffer. But the glory is going to be that which sheds light upon the creative genius of God. The suffering is the residue of this fallen world, but the glory will bring attention to his creative genius. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see this. If you miss this, you've missed it. You know why this doesn't make good preaching? It's not a health and wealth gospel. There are those who teach, if you come to faith in Jesus Christ, everything, it's onward and upward from there. No more problems, no more pain. It's not what the Word of God says. I'm sorry. It's not what it says. But what it does say is the suffering that we go through, listen, is nothing compared to the glory that will be ours. Now, that's payday someday. I realize that. And that's beyond the horizon. And as a preacher, I can't make that real to you. Can I? And that's why pie in the sky by and by doesn't set well with a lot of believers. That's why it doesn't motivate us. There's going to come a payday someday. Oh, I want it now, preacher. That doesn't motivate me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not designed to motivate everybody, but it does some. Some hear it. And some make the conscious decision, I'm going to glorify Christ now. I'm going to live for Him now. I'm going to make that decision to walk with the Savior now. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, look in verse 16. Therefore, he says, this is the one that's going to die. He's going to be beheaded by Nero in Rome, and he's the one that we're talking about. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is what? It's decaying. It's falling apart. I'm sure you've noticed that. We're on our way out of here. And if the Lord Jesus tarries, we're going back to the dust. One day I'm going to be where that woman is, probably on that bed in that hospital room. And you are too. Yet, he says, our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's something going on inside of us. That new creation inside of us that has a longing to magnify Jesus Christ and to grow to love Him. That's being strengthened. Inside we're being strengthened. Outside we're falling apart. And then Paul says, this is what I want you to see. For this momentary light affliction. Now hold it. Hold it. Children of the living God, whose body is racked by pain and cancer is eating away at them, and they fall into Alzheimer's, and they've forgotten everybody in their family. A momentary light affliction. You say, preacher, that's easy preaching for you. But we're going through it, and it hurts. It hurts. It's painful. Keep in mind, unbelievers, and many of those unbelievers are sheep. They're being called by God to the Savior. And that which is speaking loudly, the voice of the shepherd, is coming through the pain in that body of yours. What happened to Latimer? People watched him burn at the stake, and they watched Bilney come up and be burned with him, and they said, man, who is this man named Jesus that motivates people to die for Him? Who is this man that motivates people to go through pain for Him? Who is he? I want to know him. I want to know the love that motivated that in the life of that saint. I want to know him. And they come out and they say, I want to know that Savior you have. He's the kind of Savior I want. Momentary light affliction. Now look in 2 Corinthians 11, just a moment. Momentary light affliction, right, Paul? Yeah, well, hold that thought in your mind. Look in 2 Corinthians 11:23. Watch it. You reading it carefully with me? Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now notice, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. You know what that means? That means he was under the constant fear of death because he was preaching the gospel. That's what that means. In deaths often, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil and in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Hold it. Momentary light affliction, right? Paul says, for this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Payday someday. I have much to say to finish this up, but I'm not going to do it. That's a good place to unplug for today. And we're going to do that right now. And if you'll make a conscious effort now to be in your place tonight as we begin the study of the book of Revelation, I think it will be a blessing to you. And I commit to you that I will work hard to make it understandable. Now, what you do with that information is not up to me, but I want it to be understandable to you what the book says, because it's designed to be an unveiling, as we'll talk about tonight. But I pray that it'll motivate you to come and be in your place. And with that in mind, would you bow with me for prayer? Father, it's my prayer that we would understand Paul's heart, that we as believers are not called from suffering, but to suffer. And though it's not popular preaching, it's the truth. And many times it's our suffering that will bring the sheep to the Savior. It's a believer's suffering righteously, walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, though He's putting us through it. And because we recognize that our Savior suffered, probably like no human being ever will, He suffered for us. It's no shock and surprise that His body on the earth still suffers and will suffer until we see Christ. And Father, we suffer in various ways. But it's my prayer that through it all, we would bring glory to Christ. We would continuously give Him the praise that He alone is worthy of. And Father, I thank You for all the precious saints through the ages who have suffered righteously. Many given their lives for Christ, many whose body has been racked with pain, and yet they were careful always to guard the gospel and careful always to magnify the Savior. And for the many hundreds of thousands of believers who have come to faith in Jesus Christ because of the saints who have suffered righteously, I thank You. And Father, I pray that if there be someone here who has not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that You would draw them to the cross, that You would draw them to the Shepherd, the One who can give them life eternal, as a free gift. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.